right now. We are pleased to be joined by a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the E Street Band. You know him from his many years with Conan O'Brien, and he brings what looks like a wonderful show to the Waterville Opera House, Max Weinberg's Jukebox. Max Weinberg joins us. Max, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, Rich, it's my pleasure to be with you on your show. And indeed, I will be downtown in Waterville on Saturday night at the Opera House. I'm looking forward to it.
This sounds like such a great show. Can you explain for people what happens when the jukebox rolls into town?
Well, as you said, it's Max Weinberg's Jukebox. And for those of us old enough to remember, a jukebox is that machine in an East Coast diner, or really anywhere, but it's a little silver machine you used to put your nickels in to get a song that you wanted. Now it's probably $10 when they still have these machines. But you put your money in, you get the song. So what we do is we do all audience requests of songs that I sort of look at as the, well, certainly the soundtrack of my life from the 50s, 60s, 70s, a couple of 80s songs, favorite songs of mine, basically songs that I enjoy listening to and that I enjoy playing, and in some cases learned how to play the drums by listening to them and analyzing them. But it's a fun night, you know, Rich. It's not really a concert. It's a party. I like to think of it as a party. Very interactive. I will tell stories about either the songs or maybe some of the songs that I've recorded that we play throughout my career. I go out in the audience. If there's a drummer out there or a singer, I may invite them up to play. So it's very participatory.
And the audience picks, now you've limited it a little bit, but not much. What did I read? Is it 200 songs they get to choose from?
Well, it's a video scroll that plays on a screen, and it's about 250 songs. And generally, well, we probably do about 25 songs. They're different every night. In some cases, people love to hear the Beatles. Who doesn't? Other cases, it's other groups from the English invasion of the 60s, so-called. There's some Bruce in there, of course. I can't get by without playing a couple of Bruce songs. But it's really eclectic. It's kind of like top 40 music was in the 60s, where on the charts, as they used to call them, I guess they still do, but it's a little different, you would have the Beatles, the Stones, the Dave Clark Five, next to Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis, next to Aretha Franklin, the Motown groups, the Stax groups, all over the map, and that's basically what we're doing.
I love the sound of that, and I have to think it's got to be great fun for the band as well.
Well, it is. You know, these are songs that as Jersey musicians, we were generally required when we came up in the 60s to play from 9 to 3 in the morning, and you had to play top 40. The bands that struggled with playing original music didn't work. So all the bands I was in from North Jersey, there's actually a bit of a dividing line between the North Jersey bands in the 60s, of which I was a part, and the South Jersey bands, which Steve Van Zandt and Bruce Springsteen were a part of that scene, where it was more blues-oriented and original music. But we had to sort of play the hits of the day in the bars and the clubs and the CYO dances. And I enjoyed kind of imitating all my favorite drummers. And what's ironic about the jukebox show that's going to be in your town this Saturday night is I'm still playing the same music that I played 60 years ago. In some cases, you know, it could be, Walk Don't Run by The Ventures, which was one of the songs I learned how to play on the drums, or Wipeout. So it's, like I said, it's all over the place, but we respect this material. So we approach it as sort of the vocabulary and the dictionary encyclopedia for us as musicians.
We're talking with Max Weinberg. He'll be at the Waterville Opera House Saturday night, Max Weinberg's Jukebox. I have to think and guess that as the heartbeat of any band, the drummer, you must have grown up listening to the guys, the classics like Buddy Rich, Gene Krupa, people like that.
Well, you know, I didn't actually. I really discovered drumming through rock and roll. My hero and dear friend who just passed away last year, DJ Fontana.
Oh, Elvis's
Elvis
guy.
Presley's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was his original drummer, his first drummer, and DJ was an amazing drummer, just a hero of mine. And when I saw Elvis play with DJ and Scotty Moore and Bill Black on the Milton Berle Show. And I think it was April of 56. It was 6 months before Ed Sullivan. And it was a stationary camera, so you saw the four of them playing through the whole song. And when they hit the middle of Hound Dog and DJ did that big snare drum roll, it was one of those moments in my life. It was the moment in my life, but everyone has moments where they suddenly see the future. That's when I saw my future. I was only 5 years old, but I had rhythm. I loved country and Western music, so that naturally led me into rock and roll. The jazz drummers, the great jazz drummers, I actually didn't discover a love for until I started listening to them when I was much, much older. And I'm honored to say that Buddy Rich was a close friend of mine, and I, go to see him whenever I could. And what you had at a Buddy Rich show was basically a room full of drummers and their girlfriends or wives taken along to see Buddy Rich. And my wife and I were big fans of Buddy. He was always very, very nice to us. I never got to see Gene Krupa play, but, you look at the history of any music in America, and those guys were kind of the history of it. And particularly after I started playing on TV as a band leader, I kind of needed a persona to develop. And I must say, I looked to, and I'm no Buddy Rich, but I looked to Buddy Rich and his many, many appearances with Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. He's always smiling. He always looked like he was having the time of his life. I understand he wasn't always smiling to the guys in the band, but I just love the way he played. And I think one of the compliments, if I can brag on myself for a second, but one of the favorite things that ever been said by me was by Bruce when he inducted the E Street Band into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, was he said, and this blew my mind, he said that I found an intersection of Buddy Rich, Bernard Purdy, the great soul drummer, and Keith Moon.
Wow.
And that was really something, because those three drum styles, they're radically different, but I guess I've been able to kind of internalize those styles. And I would add a lot of Ringo and Charlie Watts in there, but I love all drummers. I love seeing young drummers. My son is a drummer, a very, very talented drummer he is. And I learn from everybody I see. I may not be able to play that way, but I do learn and kind of put my own spin on things like that.
Well, your days watching Carson and Ed Shaughnessy and Doc's band certainly paid off. You had such a great run with Conan O'Brien through the years. But I have to think that's got to be a hard gig to do that every single night and limit some opportunities as well when you're doing that.
Well, it's a real job. It is 9 to 5, although the hours are 11 to 7. And we would tape at 5:30, and your day is made up. I was a music director, which means you're at the executive level at NBC and General Electric at the time, who owned NBC. So you go through the same training, largely, that the General Electric executives do. And actually, that was very, very educational for me. But the day is made up of meetings, rehearsals. I ended up doing a lot of comedy, so there was rehearsals for that. And then you get to show off on TV for an hour. So it was perfect, actually, in so many ways. I think the best thing about it was I was able to be a full-time dad to my kids who were, young and growing up. I think my son Jay was 3 years old when I went on that show. And he grew up, he and my daughter Allie grew up in the NBC studios in New York. And it was a fabulous opportunity for us to experience all that, the studios there as a family. It's a real job, with real responsibility and a budget and all the things that you wouldn't think a musician was interested in. But I did have an interest, and I had an ability to sort of inhabit that role. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I did it for 17 years. That's a long time to do it. And, of course, the TV landscape is totally different than it was when I was on TV. It's nothing like it was. This was pre-Netflix, pre-streaming. We started before cell phones, if you can believe it. And so it was, in retrospect, you look back on those years, and it was the end of the golden age of particularly late-night TV. Started with Steve Allen in the 50s and Jack Parr, and I was I am very pleased. I shouldn't say was. I am now very pleased that I was a small part in that landscape of late night TV. One of my favorite things was when we started doing The Tonight Show, which, as you probably know, didn't last very long. I saw my name in the same sentence as Doc Severinsen. Yeah. And that was probably the Tonight Show experience for me. That was the highlight, was seeing my name, because I admired that band. So, you know, Doc Severinsen, as you say, Ed Shaughnessy on drums through over 30 years, and you had incredible players. Conti Gandoli was a trumpeter. Fantastic musicians who played in that band. They could play anything. So I admired that when I was a kid.
Bruce had his solo album that came out back in the summertime, but word also out that he's written some songs for the E Street Band. Will there be another album with Bruce and everybody together?
That's a great question. That's why he's called the boss. He makes the decisions. I've seen some of those references that you talked about. Would that be so? It would be great. You know, we all have our individual musical lives that we like to keep going, because if you stop, you actually do lose the ability. And I haven't stopped. I've done 175 shows in the last 2.5 years. I love playing the drums. There's a lot of traveling involved with that, and there's a lot of pre-show activities. But I really love the time that I get to spend playing the drums, showing people a good time. And so with the E Street Band, it was a little more organized when, for example, Steve Van Zandt was on The Sopranos and I was on the late night programs, where we had to start planning a year in advance. Those days are gone as well, where we take that much planning. And at this point, anything and everything we do is kind of gravy. You know, we've had a great run, and if that's in his plans, I would heartily endorse that. But at the moment, there's no, you know, there's no set plans.
Well, plans...
Not that at my level I know about, you know.
Plans should be for you, if you're listening, to get to the Waterville Opera House this Saturday night and see Max Weinberg's Jukebox, a tour through great American music. Max, we've enjoyed your work for many, many years. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
Well, pleasure to be with you, Rich. And I hope your fellow residents in the area come down. It's a fun night. I understand there's a station for adult beverages that night. So come down, have a party with my jukebox.
It sounds great. Thank you again, Max.
My pleasure. Take care.
That's Max Weinberg with us on Downtown.